go, and here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey, yo, I'm Addy.
Hey, yo, I'm Mo. Right off Extreme Rules. What the hell? Let's get to it.
Yeah, the Extreme Rules special event.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, they were in New Jersey.
Brooklyn.
Brooklyn. Brooklyn. Same thing.
Brooklyn.
They're special there, too.
From the Azad Center.
Yeah.
And we started off with WLC.
WLC, which was a hell of a match.
That was one of the highlights of the night.
It's unbelievable. Like, we went in thinking just comedy and terrible comedy.
Oh,
then it ended up with some comedy, but also a lot of actually pretty good wrestling and great spots and very surprisingly physical at times. And there was one bump where you know, the Matadors and some of the members of 3MB went off the edge of the ring into a ladder kind of table combination thing. And anyways, then it was very enjoyable, and the crowd was really into it, chanting for it. And
rightfully so.
Yeah, no, totally blew me away. I mean, Hornswoggle was good. Everybody was good. Torito was good. That was the last thing I expected tonight. Yeah.
Well, the midget won, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Midget. Little person.
Midget. Midget beat the dwarf.
Little person beat the little person. Don't forget about the little announcers.
They had the midget ref. They had the midget announcers. They had the midget ring announcer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Little person.
No, he was there too. But who they had? They had Micro Cole.
Yeah, and then you had Wee Jerry Lawler, I believe he was, or Jerry Wee Lawler.
It was
Lawler.
Supposed to be Jerry the King Smaller.
Yes,
but
which
they,
is what they
fucked it up.
He fucked it up.
The midget did. Yeah.
Yeah, and he gave himself kind of like Jerry the Wee Lawler or Little Lawler or something.
Yeah,
like that.
The Little King.
And then they changed it. And then same thing, the JBL guy, he was Wee BL or something like that.
Yeah, he said he was Wee BL, and really he was, what was he?
I don't know.
JB Small.
No, JB Elf.
JB Elf, yes. That's
what
better.
It was supposed to be.
That's excellent.
Yeah. Anyways, he was actually taller, I believe, than Daniel Bryan.
I think so, yes. Yes, he was. He was the Andre the Giant of midgets.
Little people.
So, yes, he was the eighth midget wonder of the world.
Eighth little person wonder of the world.
What's wrong with midgets?
Langston.
Midgets. Midgets.
But anyways, this was a hell of a match.
Yeah, it was. On the pre-show.
Yeah.
And got the crowd going, and yeah, it was good. Torito won. So.
Yeah, and then you had next, you opened up with RVD versus Cesaro versus Jack Swagger. And Heyman came out, cut a good little promo.
Yes.
Managed to get some heat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, managed to also get some cheers, but that's to be expected.
Well,
talking about the legacy of Extreme Rules and how he could take all the credit and this and that. But yeah, no, I mean, so then you had RVD pin Jack Swagger, which the crowd kind of was shocked at because they were all expecting Cesaro to win. And the match kept going, and then the announcers were confused. They're like, did he get him? He didn't get him. It was 2 7/8. He got him. But there's no question he got him if you're watching it.
Oh, yeah.
And then they were like, but they all seemed surprised because nobody was expecting the match to be over.
Yeah.
And it turned out that then all of a sudden you hear them say, well, then the announcer goes, the ring announcer, Jack Swagger's being eliminated. And then you hear the announcers going, yes, that's right, Swagger's eliminated, and just one more elimination to go in this match. And, you know, they're kind of,
yeah.
Like, this is how it's being booked and promoted the whole time, folks. That 10 seconds ago when we're fucking up, ignore that.
Yeah. And I had no idea. Someone said that they did that last Monday. They announced it was an elimination deal or whatever.
But really?
I mean, yeah, I don't know.
Well,
didn't know.
Apparently, if they did, I don't think it was one of the announcers who announced it because they didn't know.
They had no fucking clue either.
So, it was awfully weird. But, so Cesaro, so I mean, that this is designed to let RVD get a pin, still look strong because they don't want to bury him.
Mm-hmm.
But they want Cesaro to win, so this way he wins and... You know, it's all right. It was just there.
And the JBL was putting over, of course, that Cesaro was beaten one of the Extreme Originals, is basically what it was.
Yeah.
And it was a neutralizer onto a garbage can.
Yeah. So. And at this point, also, that's another thing was, we knew it was Extreme Rules, but all of a sudden they're bringing shit into the ring. You're like, well, wait, I thought the main event was the Extreme Rules match, and this is just a three-way. But all of a sudden it became, oh, so what, is every match allowed to have gimmicks and shit like that? Or,
apparently, yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Again, not well explained beforehand.
Yes.
So then Rusev beat Consequences, Truth and Consequences. That's right.
Yes, and Lana did this promo where
dressed like Deborah McMichael.
Yes, dressed like Deborah, and dedicated the match to Putin.
Yes, that's right. For some nice cheap heat and probably a little tasteless heat.
Tasteless and trying to be topical and dumb. And Bulgarian Brute, as she says, now lives in Russia.
Uh-huh.
And he's got the Russian thing.
Uh-huh.
As the flag or whatever.
But he's still the Bulgarian Brute.
Yes. So, yeah. He won. Whatever.
Yeah.
They have new Evolution t-shirts that push all the titles that they've got. Then it was Big E Langston.
Who?
Against Bad News Barrett.
Yeah, Barrett got a good reaction coming out. And then during the match, which actually went on quite a long time, nobody gave a damn about the match at all until the end. And then they exploded for Barrett winning the title and gave him a huge celebration. He was way over and they really wanted him to win, but during the match, nobody really cared.
No, and it was a title change, right? So, yeah. I mean, they pop for the title change there.
Also, I mean, they were definitely cheering for Barrett. And we expected this again. This is the guy with the momentum and the TV time. That's the guy you're putting the belt on, not the guy who has no momentum and has barely been on TV, it seems, the last few weeks. It's certainly not important.
No, that's right.
Is this the point where we're going to do it?
You want to do this now?
Yeah, why not? Think about this time is actually when this is actually coming into this next match is when our Chinese food showed up.
Yes, so now we've got fortune cookies that we decided we would open on the air.
For you guys.
And read the fortune.
But we won't eat them on the air.
Who eats on a podcast?
Who eats on a podcast? Sometimes if you're lucky, you get two. I only got one. I got one fortune. What does yours say?
Ooh. Luck will stick with you as long as you shall live.
Oh, so if you die, you're fucked.
Yeah. I'll die.
Mine says, Ayaz confiance en vous, samaras tous les aspidigars.
Nice. Now read the English side.
Wait, there's another side? Mm-hmm. I guess we are in Canada. Believe in yourself, as it will bring you strength to overcome any obstacles. That also, by the way, Daniel Bryan's next shirt.
Yes. Mm. I was going to say hustle, loyalty, respect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. I'll play these numbers for the lottery.
Anyway, now then, the Evolution against the Shield is the matchup that came on next. And
we were surprised by this, because we thought this was actually going to close the show.
Yeah, we're like, this seemed like the main event to us, the one they promoted. But and even go on before, like, Cena, like, middle of the card, basically, right?
And originally I thought, you know, Dan O'Brien should be the one to close it, because you want to put over your champion. But then as it got closer, I realized this is a match I cared the most about, a match everybody cared the most about.
Yeah.
It probably should be the main event.
Yeah.
So,
because it didn't involve Kane.
Of course, like we say, our food showed up, and the first, like, few minutes of this, I was just not into it. I was not feeling it. I was kind of fooling around on my phone. And then it got great.
Yeah, then it really got great. And they brawled outside, and one point Rollins went to dive on Hunter, and Hunter was like, fuck that.
And just jumped out of the way, and he, like, slammed into the barricade.
Yeah.
And, oh, yeah, and he came off the top outside the ring, off the
the concourse there.
And that's the thing is that what you're seeing was the Shield was doing all these incredible athletic and painful moves, and the other guys were catching them.
Yes.
But because of this, this match really worked because the Shield really was doing the work and taking the – and the other guys were just in position for them.
Yeah.
But it made Evolution look great, but it also made it seem like a great fight. Like, this is the level they had to go to and were willing to go to beat Evolution. And, yeah, I mean, and then they won.
Oh, yeah. You know,
which kind of surprised me.
Oh, it really did, yeah. I was like, oh, shit, okay.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, we figured that
Evolution Rollins got the pin.
Was going to win to keep this going, and then we hear
on Batista.
Well, then, yeah, because Batista apparently leaving.
Now
he had the he was supposed to this payback, I guess. He was supposed to fight Daniel Bryan for the belt, and then he found out, of course, he'd be losing, and he thought, no, I'll go do some movie promotion instead.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Good of him.
Yes, he said no.
So he lost here, though.
Yes, he lost here. So,
it's fine, but yeah, no, I mean, I don't know if it means Evolution stays together or not, or they blame Batista. It seems to me like you'd be ashamed to split them up right away, but, you know, I mean, this was, either way, the Shield both got the win, but also the Shield got to shine, and they really did, and it was, and because of what they were willing to do, both the physical punishment as well as the athletic moves, it mm-hmm. really turned into a hell of a match.
Could you bring in someone in an Evolution? Could you bring in another guy then to keep it going if Batista's gone? Cause, I mean, then it's just Hunter and Orton again.
You know who would be perfect? Mason Ryan.
Mason Ryan would be perfect. Let's do that.
I think there's probably at least an 80% chance that happens. No, but quite honestly, yeah, I mean, I don't know who's a fit. It'd have to be somebody who's... Would it have to be somebody who's already had success or somebody they see is having success?
I think you have a young guy.
Yeah? A Rusev?
No, not
right?
Rusev. Because he's got Lonnie. He's got a separate... He's got another...
How about Big E turns? Well, or Sheamus turns.
Yeah, Big E or Sheamus.
We're hearing about Sheamus turning.
Turning, yeah. Big E or Sheamus could...
And that would set up Sheamus versus Daniel Bryan, which we've also heard about, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that could... I don't know. I don't know maybe if Sheamus is potentially too established, though, to go in it. Like, if you think, like,
Big E's... If you run, you're thinking about really giving somebody the rub.
Yeah. Yeah, like, just, I mean, someone like, I don't even know who could, you know, Swagger seemed, like he could be a guy, but he's got his, you know, his own act, and again, he's been around for a while, but Big E is a new guy. I don't see anybody in developmental that's ready to come up necessarily. Unless you...
Who fits, no.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, you know? I mean... Yeah.
You know. Unless you knock off the as they've been slowly kind of doing, you knock off the we're heels in the movie Superman gimmick, and you do Victor and O'Brien as a team.
Do you do it as a team, or do you just do...
Connor O'Brien?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know. Because again, you don't put somebody in there unless it has to be somebody you're extremely confident is going to be that star. And he's very borderline.
Yeah.
You know? So I just don't. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I would think Big E or Sheamus would be the best guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Of guys off the top of my head.
Because you can't turn Roman Reigns.
No.
You know?
No, it doesn't make any sense to do Roman Reigns.
No. No. But yeah. But, I mean, great match.
How about Alberto Del Rio? Too established?
Too established. And yeah. Especially
I think, though, a fit.
Some of them pigeonholed, though. Oh, a fit, definitely. But some of those guys, even Sheamus might be pigeonholed, you know?
Yeah. Could be. So, all right, moving on then. You had John Cena versus Bray Wyatt. This was a spectacle.
This was a testicle. I mean, it went and guys were coming in the ring, and I said to you just before it happened, and basically it's Luke Harper gets dragged into the cage, and you know knocked out, dragged into the cage, and then so Rowan's still around the cage, you know, with chairs and stuff keeping Cena from escaping, and then eventually Rowan gets knocked out on top of the cage, so yeah. He's lying there on top of the cage, so there's bodies everywhere. And I just kind of looked at you and I said, so do they debut like a new member? Like, do the lights go out and a new member is here? Because it seemed too...
Yeah, it seemed like they were building up to a new member. So we were like, I turned to you and I said, Big Show. Right? Like, that to me was the guy who...
Yeah.
The most obvious guy to be the next member. I mean, it's not obvious, but I could see them making it work.
Yeah.
Because I don't see anybody, you know. And then all of a sudden we heard this... voice, and it was like a modulated voice talking.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, fuck, that sounds like Big Show's voice modulated. I still think it might have been.
No. That was only Anderson. This little kid, little Johnny?
Yeah.
Little Johnny Ottman.
Yeah, apparently.
Like, this is Uncle Fred's kid.
Yeah, so what happened? Explain it to everybody.
Well, the lights go out, and you hear the brah, or, you know, that little sort of the Wyatt
kind of thing that you always see before. Yeah, the image of, like, the sheep mask and all that stuff that you see.
Yeah,
right?
And the lights go out, and when the lights come back on, there's a kid, a modulated kid with the, he's got the whole world, doing the whole, like, exorcist voice.
Yeah, exactly, like, exorcist thing, like, The devil has possessed his soul, and so therefore he's singing it, but modulated like an adult voice, like he's a demon that's possessing him or whatever. Yeah. And he's got the creepy eyes. And for about a half second, I was like, "Oh, this is cool." And then I went, "No, actually, it isn't."
I was like, "That's pretty creepy." And then Cena, you know, just look at the eyes. And then Cena backed up, and then it was when the announcer started to talk.
Yeah, the announcer. Yeah, exactly. He backs up into the Sister Abigail. Huge pop.
Yeah,
when he hits it, but
and I liked Wyatt's leaving.
Yeah,
he strutted out of the ring very confidently, like my people follow me out of this cage.
Yeah,
you know,
and then he like puts his arms around the kid or whatever.
Yeah, he gives the kid a big hug and says a gun, and then we learn afterwards that there's a promo and the kid's name is Little Johnny. No relation, we figured, to Little Jimmy.
We don't know that,
but. And it was funny, they kind of screwed up the timing.
You okay with me? A little Johnny disappeared.
Yeah.
And then, because in the back again, he talked with the, when he did the,
well, but the they sang. Screwed that up, though. He started to say it, and you could hear his real voice, and then it dubbed over with the modulated.
The modulated.
And
but
he said, follow the buzzards.
Yeah, the idea is, that he's saying follow the buzzards and all this stuff. And again, I think in their head, they thought this would be cool, and I could see why they would, but in reality, it just seems stupid. And one of the things, I mean, Bray Wyatt hasn't been, he might be a cult leader, but he's not the Undertaker. He doesn't have the supernatural powers. Anytime you get into that, I start to hate that.
Yeah.
Like, I hate it when it's Kane. I could take it when it was Undertaker at times, and at times I hated it with him.
Yeah.
I've always hated it with Kane, and I definitely hate it with him. The idea that the kid would follow him, I'm okay with. That's cool. And if it had just been the kid singing by himself, it would have been fine.
Yeah.
It's the modulator voice and the idea that he's possessed.
It should have.
It's just... Yeah. Dumb.
It should have been the kid.
Two sports entertainment.
It should have been the kid that had the real theatrical voice that they used on Raw there.
The one kid who had like the lead voice was very. Yeah. Just use that kid. Or maybe that kid didn't want to do it. And the kid had creepy eyes. He had the right look.
He did have the right look, and he had the right smile. Yeah. And he acted very good, right?
But and I don't know who. He's probably related to somebody in the production crew or one of the wrestlers or something. But, again, I just...
Ottman.
Too much...
Johnny Ottman.
Sports entertainment, I don't like that. And it was too much Super Cena during the match.
Yes.
For me. It was too Super Cena, and I hate that, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
We got.
It's weird though because it was the right end, like the right. I thought, oh fuck, if he loses again.
Well, now this must continue though, to the producer's delight.
Yeah,
she watched it with us kind of off and on, and said to us, "So do these two always fight each other?"
Yes, does seem that way sometimes.
It hasn't even been. It was like the Royal Rumble, and then they stopped it for a bit. It literally has been like the beginning.
Well, Royal Rumble. Daniel Bryan lost to.
But then they cost Cena. Remember?
They cost Cena, but then they didn't fight. Like
they didn't follow that up until Extreme Rules.
Yeah.
Or rather, Elimination Chamber.
Yeah.
And then they started. So it's really been.
It hasn't actually been that much. It just seems like
it's like March and May. It's been like two and a half months.
Yeah. It's just that you're sick of seeing John Cena. That's all.
Yeah, that's what it is. Really,
it really is. Because I did notice that, like you say, she's watching it on and off. The very few times that she pretty much mostly paid attention was when Bray Wyatt was on that screen.
Yeah.
Both in the pre-show, like building to the match, like all of it. She kind of, like every time he was on the screen, she'd kind of look up and find herself watching.
Yeah.
And so I thought that was interesting.
Yeah. But then we had Paige against Tamina.
And in a tough spot, they didn't have a bad match at all.
No, it was...
But boys, it's a tough spot coming off of those two matches and leading into the main event. So the crowd treated it exactly like you expect. Like, there was a point where Tamina, I think, kicks out of a move, or Paige kicks out of one of them does, and the crowd actually literally boos.
Yeah.
Because they're like, fuck, we just want this over.
Yeah.
And again, tough spot for them. Another thing that's tough is just... They haven't done anything to establish Paige as a personality.
No.
So.
Well, you would think, though, that...
You're eating in the podcast.
I am. It's a cookie. It's good. Oh, yeah. You would think, though, that... I mean, anybody named Paige could just naturally get over with hard work and determination.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
have the, you know, the feud of the year, mm-hmm. 1997.
Mm-hmm.
But then we had Daniel Bryan against Kane in an extreme
rules. She needs to stay positive. If she stays positive,
Paige
will be okay.
Yeah. Yeah. That's just it. Mm-hmm. But Kane and Daniel Bryan for the extreme. Oh, well, no, we did have that Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, this is what he did with the kid.
He did the thing with the kid, and then, of course, they started singing, right?
Yeah.
I banged your mother with my hands. I banged all of your mothers with my hands. I banged all of your mothers with my hands. I banged your mama with my hands.
Finger banging.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is a good time. Yeah, and as they sang that song, and that's word for word it, I thought to myself, you know, this offense isn't all that PG.
It's not, and it really wasn't.
No, it really wasn't.
You know, the...
RVD got cut hard way, that was, you know...
Yeah, right in the trash can there.
Yeah, but...
Even with the midgets.
Yeah, you know, like, even that was...
Flying through ladders and stuff, you know, and they didn't even hurt they hurt real people, too, in that, because I think Jinder Mahal probably, like, fell over, so it wasn't just the midgets.
Yeah.
But, and then, I don't know about Cena and Wyatt, that was kind of, you know, pretty tame, but then you had Daniel Bryan and Kane.
And this match was definitely not PG.
No.
Very, very, I mean, we knew it was going to be Extreme Rules, but... It was this is an odd match because they came out, people were into Daniel Bryan, and then they left the arena.
Yeah.
And the crowd booed that. And I thought, you don't leave the arena and brawl in the back. Like, I see that, and it works when it's a mid-card match. I've never seen it work in the main event.
No.
Because the main event, people want to see the action in the ring because that's what they paid for.
That's right.
So I thought, okay, that's bad. But they took out some major moves out there.
Yeah.
Especially the Daniel Bryan on the
the car.
Backdrop onto the car. It was just fucking brutal. Yeah.
Ezekiel Jackson making his WWE return on the side of the production truck.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
that was good.
That was good, yeah.
Shows you they have everybody.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding.
But, and then, I mean, so then they go through, they fight in the back, and then Kane's knocked out with a tire iron. So Daniel Bryan has to put him on a forklift, drive the forklift back to the ring.
And I knew they would cheer when he did. And then they got to the ring, and it took forever for him to dump him into the ring, and it looked stupid.
And it looked like
Kane was actually helping him.
Oh,
Kane
he totally was helping was. He was pushing off.
And at this point, the crowd's booing. And I thought, good job. Daniel Bryan wins the belt. Fans love him. He gets his very first ever chance to defend the belt on a special event.
Mm-hmm.
And you've managed to make the crowd boo him. Good fucking job. But when he went up to the top of the forklift to do the jump off, the crowd was cheering then. And then... You're expecting the match to be over. I was looking. It was at that point 8:36.
Yeah.
You're expecting it to end. And then they went for like another 10 minutes or so.
10, 15 minutes kind of thing.
Probably 10 minutes. It was 8:45 when it went up there. So 9 minutes.
Then they went outside. They put each other through all the announce tables. And
not the Spanish announce table.
No, the American announce
table. Happiest people in the arena, those Spanish. The irony. Motherfuckers.
Yeah, that's
finally.
Right. Finally.
You go fuck yourselves. Yeah.
And then, they did two tables, right? They had the American or the English table,
mm-hmm.
and then they had Darren Young's table, right? Kane went through Darren Young's table at the end.
Did he?
Yeah. Well, yeah. There was a flaming table.
Mm-hmm.
Kane lit it on fire. Had the lighter fluid and everything. Barbecue lighter, put it on, and then
the crowd saw that. They're like, because you have seen that in the WWE twice before, at ECW One Night Stand, the second one, in 2006, I believe.
Yes,
and at the WrestleMania with Foley and Edge. Like, it's not a spot you see.
Yeah,
and Kane went through it, and you know they obviously were there right away to put him out, and he looked like he got up right away. He was fine, but you just don't see it. And we definitely haven't seen it since they've pushed their PG product.
Yeah. And this is definitely exactly going back to, you know, you got a little bit, maybe a little bit more leeway being on the network.
It's possible.
Right? I mean, it's, there are no...
it's their decision then, right?
It is. It really...
And they already have, though, that product on the network for you to watch. So what...
Yeah,
you know, I mean, I'm watching. Right? I was watching ECW. I was mentioning how I'm watching it, and you know, the first thing that comes out is Shane Douglas comes out to with Francine to do the commentary for this event. This, I think it was Living Dangerously or something like that, 98 or something. I can't remember which one I was watching, but yeah, he comes out first thing. He goes, "Is cut the fucking music, uncensored, right on the network, right?"
Yep.
And it was hilarious because half the time they used the F-bomb, they beeped it. And half the time, like RVD said on the whole fucking show, unbeeped. But meanwhile, you know, what's his name? Mike Awesome said somebody's a motherfucker and it was beeped.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
But the point being that if that's going to be on the network and the Flaming Tables is on that, then why not show it on these? Because people can already see it on the network. If you're making that decision.
Well, that's true. And you said it was like 97, which I didn't think Darren Young had a career that long. But 97. So, but I think that this was... because they got to...
Anyways, the point being that he came, got up, ran to the ring in pain, not paying attention, and ran into the knee. Got pinned.
Yes.
Daniel Bryan's leaving. He's celebrating. And then Kane gets up, hits the fire, and stares at him. And you realize... He's ready to go again, and yeah, you got the win, but you won the battle, but you sure didn't win the war, type of deal.
And
it seems to be like setting up for an Inferno match.
I think so. I think that the fire sets up an Inferno deal, and I think the same could be said for John Cena.
Yeah, well, that definitely is obviously continuing.
So it's basically
it's just the Shield versus Evolution, which seems to be finished. But then, what do you do with the Shield?
What do you do now?
Unless
you
put in a new guy. And then they get the win with the new guy that makes them better. And then when Batista comes back, you have a potential storyline there.
Yeah, it's...
You know.
You've got some stories. I don't know. Like, the thing that bothers me about this Kane-Daniel Bryan thing is that, like, it was such shit leading into it.
But the match was good. I mean, it was a good match. And you know what?
It was.
We're watching the match and we're watching, like Daniel Bryan at one point is hitting him with, like, 10 chairs. And they had, like, the kendo stick. And they had all this shit. And I'm watching and I'm going, this is not Daniel Bryan's strengths. He's not a brawler. I mean, I'm thinking this is away from his strengths. But the fact is, they didn't pull... Like, they didn't sit there and go, oh, it's just our special event on the network.
Right.
Who cares what happens? Let's put out a half-assed show. They said, let's put on the best fucking show we can. They pulled out every gimmick, including a flaming table. They pulled out every gimmick they could. They pulled out every... In not just this match, but same thing in the Shield match with that stuff, you know, outside the ring. And all of it. Like, they really went for it to put on the best possible event they could for the network. They didn't phone it in.
No.
Which I thought they might.
And the thing is, too,
and they'd be phoning it in. I'm creative coming into it. The creative booking this and making us excited for
the writing.
The writing.
It wasn't creative.
No, it wasn't. It was not as good as the event. The event was better than the build.
That's right.
And you know that's the possibility. And it's not people like Rusev. It's the people you expected to carried it.
Oh yeah, it was the top three billing matches or what we're talking about right now.
Yeah,
you know. You know, with a special tip of the hat to the new Intercontinental and a WLC that we had no idea, we had no expectations for that.
Yep.
You know what I mean? But the thing is now with the fact that the next event, whatever the payback, I'm not so worried about it. What I'm not worried about is that I got to sit through fucking 3 hours of Raw tomorrow and 3 hours of next week and 3 hours of next week. And if they're going with Kane and Daniel Bryan, which has been shit before, I am willing to believe that it will be shit to continue. So there is that.
So the booking, again, you're looking at, you know, the whatever, I don't know exactly how many weeks it is away, but if it is 4 weeks away and we'll say 12 hours worth of television,
that's fine.
You're looking at 12 hours that is not going to be exciting, plus another 8 hours on, you know, SmackDown. So you're looking at potentially 20 hours of TV they got to fill to build this feud that doesn't need to be built anymore. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, the match could happen and it could be an Inferno match, and now I'd be more excited for it based on the fact that I saw how good this was, you know? So, but...
June 1st is payback.
Yeah, so that is, I think, 4 weeks.
That's a month, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, I mean, and it's in Chicago, so, you know, it'd be interesting there, but with CM Punk and everything. But again, yeah, I mean, I'm just not at all, like, I'll be anxious for the match because this time I'll expect a good match, but I will not be in any way, shape, or form looking forward to the build.
Oh, God, no.
Yeah.
But
there are some interesting things going on. So we'll see how they do. Like I say, they'll see how they do with Evolution. We'll see if next time, you know, how they continue to build a Rusev. We'll see if they, you know, see if we get a guy like Sheamus, something happening with him, if the Usos get on there and they get a fresh opponent. I mean, we're hearing Tyson Kidd and Evan Bourne possibly forming a team now, which is interesting again.
And I did see a great, I think it was Justin Gabriel and Tyson Kidd against the Usos on Saturday Morning Slam, back when they had that show. It was a tremendous match. Yeah, it was like, it was one of those things where they had like a short match, and then they had some of those flashback vault or whatever event thing, and then they'd have a longer match in it. And yeah, it was great.
I'm sure it would be. So
it was great. But, yeah.
You're going to have the Rose Brothers breakups, and that'll probably be a pay-per-view next month.
Yeah, that's a valid special event match, right? So, yeah, I think there's, you know, some things that are decent, I guess, that are there.
Well, I mean, it's just that, you know, I mean, I'm just, the thing is, it's not all Kane and I mean, I would say of the last 12 hours worth of Raw, four of them were good and eight were boring.
Yeah.
And you probably expect the same. But at least you'll have the four that's good, and then you'll have this if it builds to a pay-per-view like this.
Yeah. And again, for $9.99.
Yeah.
You know, so what's it?
I mean, I watched the network for 6 hours yesterday watching two old WCW pay-per-views.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I've already gotten $9.99 worth. And forget about the fact that we've watched all the other stuff. And I can't wait for the next episode of Legends House. So, you know. Yeah, I mean, I can't complain from that. And that's the other thing. No issues whatsoever with the stream.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. None. Well, except for there still is the problem with trying to rewind and go back.
But that seems to be a problem, I think, that maybe, you know, I think that may be a PS4 thing. Because on my Xbox, when we tried to go back, it wasn't having that issue. So I think that's a PS4 thing. Yeah. So I'm not sure why that is.
It could be. But so out of 10, what do you think what would you give it?
7.5.
Yeah, I think
for an event that I expected to just be there, it certainly went over that.
Yeah, we had a couple people like say we asked, and they said 7. You know, no blood and the lame kid spot. Solid matches. Overall, Kane and Bryan, Evolution of the Shield. Someone said 6.5. Still got nothing on Attitude and Ruthless Aggression Era. Well, I don't know about the Ruthless Aggression Era, but someone said 8. No, got their $9.99 worth. This felt like the end of the Wyatt Cena match. So someone took 7. Thought the Cena match had a bad finish, and that the Bryan match dragged along. Let's see here. Someone here also mentions that when Lana leans on the ring and tells Rusev to crush, I see two things that make me a very happy man. To which somebody else replied, not as happy as Mo when he was talking about Eric Young on the podcast.
Which actually makes no sense, because what did I say about Eric Young?
That you love him.
No, I said, really, really talented guy should not be champion.
No. You said, you were, last episode, you were praising his physique and his looks. And, yeah, no, you wanted to fuck him. So,
Yeah, I'd fuck him.
Yeah. I know. I know.
Well, Sid, I'd let him fuck me. Come on, let's be honest.
Psycho Sid Udy, chimes in and says, very good show, thoroughly entertained, giving it an 8.5.
Okay.
So.
Again, kind of what, positive reviews. And, you know, and that's one thing we can say, that's a couple months in a row. I mean, WrestleMania with positive reviews.
Yes.
Very good, too. I mean, at least the pay-per-views under Steph and Hunter are doing just fine.
So, yeah, no, it's not a bad. As I said, I would probably give it, a 7.5. I can't really go 8, I don't think, but...
No.
But definitely...
Because it wasn't a sense of importance of the event. And it wasn't the crowd wasn't hot the whole way through. The things that could bring it to that next level. And
then they had the post show.
Yes. Very interesting what they did here.
They tried to do some press conferences here, or press conference deal. And we didn't watch the whole thing. Came in and recorded. We got Daniel Bryan at this pseudo press conference.
This was really weird.
Yeah.
I like what they're trying to do. Again, it makes it seem like a sport. And we've seen them do press conferences back in the day.
Yeah.
Again. But this was... But I mean, every sporting event now, NBA, NHL, every one of these now...
UFC.
Has that press conference afterwards, right? After every game or, every match or whatever event. So, I mean, it's the right idea. But it's pretty obvious that there's not a big crowd of reporters and that these are... the writers or people in their staff asking these questions.
Right.
And that the answers are scripted. Mm-hmm. And it just didn't work. I like the idea. Good attempt. I don't know if they can tweak it, but...
I think maybe you tweak it, but...
Maybe give it another try, but I'm not so sure.
You need there in terms of make it authentic? You need Mean Gene to be at a podium or whatever to moderate these things.
Something. I don't know.
Put that cigarette out.
It's tight on the wrestler, so you can't see the media or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the right idea, I think, but I don't know that they should keep going with it.
Daniel Bryan's vain attempt at emotion.
Very strange.
It was awful. Don't do that again.
Yeah, and then just all of it. Even when he leaves, I think on that, I've got to go. My neck is starting to cramp up. And, all of it, it didn't feel very genuine. Yeah. Like I say, when the network is at its best, when we're talking about how much we love those WrestleMania, countdown of WrestleMania
shows or whatever,
And who was it showing up? You had Fandango and
Summer
Ryback and guys like that show up and they're talking like a shoot.
Yeah,
like
R-Truth even, right?
R-Truth. When it was like that, it felt genuine. And when the network is genuine like that, it's great.
Yeah.
This did not feel genuine. Therefore, and then afterwards you had the Wyatt family come out and just pray and say, "Oh, I bet you had everything. I bet you went to school. The person asking me a question had everything laid out for you. I had nothing. I came from nothing." And flips the table over and all of it feels very...
But that was a good promo.
Well, because he's fucking great promo. Yeah.
But I mean, but it wasn't a...
It's not, we
didn't wait to see for anybody else.
Yeah, we didn't know how much more there was going to be. But.
So we figured we'd come back. And
because I need to sleep some.
That's right. So we got Raw tomorrow. A Fallout show. We got Adam Rose debuting tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Adam Rose will be good. I think he'll get a good reaction. I think he'll be a good mid-card act. But I'm looking forward to Bo Dallas because his new Titantron is great.
Yes.
And I know where Adam Rose will be. I know Adam Rose will be a popular Santino-like cult funny figure kind of, mid-card act.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about Bo Dallas. He could go up higher. He could flop completely. Yeah. With him, I don't know, so I'm more interested.
That's true.
But he won't be on there tomorrow.
Adam Rose is dangerous.
But he had a great video for him again tonight.
Oh, yes, they did.
Bo Dallas. So.
Climbing the mountain. But I think, that's going to do it. I want to make mention, of course, that depending on when people hear this, but the week of May 5th here, whatever that is Owen Hart week on WeTalkWrestling.com. So going to be a lot of blogs and a show of his best promos, and we'll talk some audio about him on our normal show on Thursday as well. Mm-hmm. And have some of those features. So all week, just look forward to Owen Hart week on WeTalkWrestling.com.
You got a blog of memories. I got a blog kind of highlighting some of his lesser known matches. Like you say, we have the promo show. We have another blog that's coming thanks to Cassidy Ash, the bro Owen Hart fan at the Owen Hart fan, I guess, on Twitter. Runs what's the website again?
In Our Hearts.
Thank you. Sorry, escaped me. And again, if you have thoughts or memories You just tweet it or send it to us, Addie, at wetalkwrestling.com. Like I say, leave a comment. We're not looking for a full blog from you, but just some little memories that we're going to gather. We're either going to read them on the show on Thursday or gather them into a blog and put it that way from you and give you credit that way. So either way, if you listen to this show, you know we missed Owen every day. And we love Owen, and we're going to pay tribute to him as he should have.
Yes. If the Ultimate Warrior gets a fucking week.
Yeah, no kidding. No
Owen
kidding.
Hart's getting one for damn sure.
Yeah.
Let's see. We're at We Talk Wrestling on Twitter, and then Facebook.com/WeTalkWrestling as well. And iTunes, you can subscribe and Stitcher listen as well. So that's going to do it for yet another show. We'll be back on Thursday, I guess. So in the meantime and in between time, that's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Good night, folks.
Can I eat my damn cookie now?
You only get one.